Well, brethren, can you feel the Christmas spirit out there? When you see all those decorations on the neighbors, when you go to the store and hear the singing of the songs, it seems like it starts earlier every year, doesn't it? Now, I know our neighbors across the street, they start very early. They started well before Thanksgiving, putting things up there. They put the large wreaths on their porch, tied those down, and then they did all these decorations, and pretty soon through the front window of their living room there, you can see all the Christmas tree decorations. Now, I haven't seen any evidence yet, but when their children were younger, they used to go out there and blow up the large ho-ho Santa Claus in the front yard, and then a big reindeer next to that, and they would go in the wind until the next morning, and they were dead and all on the lawn because somebody shut off the pump. And then later they'd pump it up, and the next day they'd come back. Well, I believe the reasons why so many people spend so much money and time and energy and gifts and all that's decorating and partying for a man-made holiday, Christmas, is because that's all they have to look forward to. Because in this troubled world, you need something to kind of pick you up. And when you think about it, they have to begin early because this the actual event, you know, doesn't take very long for Christmas. And a lot of times there's a letdown afterwards. Speaking of the money that is spent, we know that a lot of people take a long time to pay off their bills. And based on the NRF, that's the National Retail Federation, the 2016 forecast for holiday sales, November through December, is expected to increase to $655.8 billion for these 2 months. $655.8 billion. And even the Halloween estimate is expected to be $8.4 billion. That would be for the candy and costumes and decorations and cards. These days are that important to an awful lot of people. For the first 10 years of our marriage, before we knew the truth, my wife and I would join our family for regular meals during certain holidays. And my parents ended up with Easter, which was good for us. And Powell and I happened to end up with Thanksgiving Day. That was great for us. And my sister and her family would do Christmas because they had the young children way back then when we used to do this. So until we came into God's church, we would go to my sister's house to exchange gifts and have a meal together every Christmas Day. Well, as we were learning the truth that we can remember back then, we went and noticed something about the Christmas spirit that we didn't realize. When it was time to open the gifts, there was that traditional flurry of the kids tearing off the paper from the gifts. And of course, they were decent. They give us hugs and thank yous. But a few minutes later, it was all over. And we had the feeling that there was a spirit of, is that it? Is that all I got? What did you get? Going back and forth. Again, part of the spirit of Christmas seemed to be a letdown afterwards. When I worked at Georgia Tech, the four secretaries in our office talked my boss into letting them have, using their own money, to buy a small artificial Christmas tree and a few decorations to dress up the office before it was time to go for the winter break. But after the first time that he let them do that, some new rules came out for the next year. First of all, you can only bring those things out and do that 1 week, that last week before. And he said, before they left for the break, after this 1 week there, that they showed these things, they had to take it all down, put it back in the box, and out of sight, and put it out of sight into the storage area. And he told me in secret, because I was his assistant, he said, to tell you the truth, Bill, the first year I let them do that, bring out all that junk, he said, I came back into the office a little early after New Year's, and I looked around, and when I saw all those things still there, he said, I was depressed all day long, and I vowed that then that I would never let them do that again, so I had to come back and look at those things. But that's sort of the feeling you get. So, speaking of Christmas spirit, I remember when I was just a boy that someone gave my parents a special address book. And it had some columns down the sides. And what you did, this was basically for Christmas cards, and you'd receive a card from somebody, you'd write their name and address in there and check that they sent you a card. If you sent one back, you'd say you sent them one back. And after about 2 years of they didn't come back, then you scratch their name off. So you could keep up with this card business of who would you send all these cards to and who would you stop sending cards to. Now, if they did this, is that what you call the Christmas spirit? Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong used to talk about the two ways of life, a way of give and a way of get. And I guess this can apply also to gifts and cards. I've titled this split sermon, The Christmas Spirit, Does It Please God? The Christmas Spirit, Does It Please God? In the time remaining, what I want to do is review three ways that a man's holiday of Christmas differs from God's true holy days. How the holiday of Christmas differs from God's true holy days. Point number one, the holiday of Christmas, man-made and built on false premises, is not in the Bible. Christmas is not really in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to celebrate the birthday of anybody. Not Jesus or anybody else. The Bible doesn't tell us the date of his birthday, but it's clear that he wasn't born near December 25th because there were shepherds in the field, says in Luke chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And a census was being taken place, says in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, neither of these things would have happened on the cold, rainy month of December. There are clues to show that he was likely born sometime in the fall. And this leads to the question, so why do people celebrate this on December 25th? The answer, it was based on midwinter festivals to pagan gods. Festivals in existence as much as 2,000 years before Jesus Christ's birth. Through late December was an important pagan holiday to the Greeks, Bacchanalia, to the Romans, Saturnalia, sometimes with human sacrifice involved, and the Persian cult of Mithra, which became the official Roman religion in AD 274. The first time the holiday was celebrated as Christmas was about 300 years after Christ. It was also a celebration among the Druids, Germanic tribes, who were allowed to continue their pagan rebirth of fertility customs, including evergreen trees and mistletoe, even after being converted to the popular form of Christianity at that time. So Christ did not teach it. These wild and popular celebrations, full of debauchery, are still going on. Even after the church in Rome, they went on. However, the church could not suppress these things that were happening on December 25th by the pagans. So in the 4th century, the church decreed that December 25th was to be observed as the birthday of Christ. In effect, they pasted the name of Christmas, Christ Mass, onto the pre-Christian midwinter festival of pagans. Along with this pagan festival came the Christmas tree, the wreaths, the Yule log, mistletoe, Santa Claus, and other traditions that are part of Christmas today. Now, that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or his birth. You can read more about the origins of Christmas on the church's website, or you can go online. So the Christmas holiday is built on false premises and pagan practices. On the other hand, God's holy days are based on the truth from the Word of God, as revealed in the Old and New Testaments. These are the days that Christ and his apostles followed in the early Christian church, before and after Jesus was resurrected. These days are still holy to God. He didn't change them. They are not traditions of men, no syncretism, that is, the mixing of pagan practices with the truth. God tells us that his holy days are his feasts. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. You can read this in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Leviticus 23, 1 through 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover." And then he goes on to give us the 7 holy days that are his. And God is the only one who can make anything holy. God places these particular days on a plane much higher than any humanly devised celebrations can do anything with their false premises. Does it make a difference if we keep Christmas? No. It doesn't make a difference unless there is an Almighty God, and we believe there is. Point number 2, the holiday of Christmas does not honor Christ. The holiday of Christmas does not honor Christ. We can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12, let's see here, verses 29 through 32. Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32. "When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in the land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.' You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination," and my Bible shows detestable action, "every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." And verse 32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." Regardless of how many people keep Christmas and think that it's pleasing to God, We have learned and understand that God does not want us to add to or take away from His Word. You can read that in the last three verses of the Bible in Revelation. Adding what is not part of His revelation is, again, syncretism, which I mentioned before, an attempt to merge foreign and pagan practices with the truth. God says plainly that His instruction booklet is, He says, He will not accept that kind of worship, even though it's intended to honor Him. Jesus said plainly, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. In John 4:24. And what is truth? Well, Jesus said, God's Word, that is the Holy Bible, is truth. That's in John 17:17. The Bible says God will not accept worship when people take a pagan custom or manner of worship and try to honor Christ with it. He calls that abomination. Yet if you were to try to get the attention of people who believe in Christmas and show them the facts and the fallacy of the holiday, would they change their way? I doubt it. Many might say, yeah, I know, I've heard He's not born on the 25th, but what difference does that make? It's a fun time and I'm trying to honor Him. How many of us made the mistake when we first knew the truth about this? We tried to convince our family or friends that about Christmas or Easter. It made a big difference to us, but it didn't seem to make a big difference to them. Many people think, like a friend of ours, and he wasn't a religious person, but he put all the decorations up and wanted to do this. Well, I don't make a big thing out of Christmas, he says, but I like it because of the spirit of the day. It's the spirit. That's true. There is a spirit of Christmas. I agree there's a spirit of Christmas, a spirit of get, spirit of competition, a spirit of spending and forced giving. For many, there's a spirit of partying and debauchery. And sadly for some, there's a spirit of loneliness and despair. In our local newspaper one year, there was an article in the health section dealing with stress at Christmas. The title was, Happy Holidays, Right? Not always. Manage the blues with these tips. The article said, 'Tis the season to be jolly. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Everyone is happy at this time, right? No, wrong. In reality, many people feel sad, depressed during the holiday season. The article went on to admit that many people get stressed out with the holiday. Many feel blue or suffer more extreme feelings of anxiety or depression. It goes on to mention financial burdens. Many end up beyond their means and are faced with paying overwhelming bills after the holidays. The article ends with a list of tips from a psychiatrist to deal with the problem. They even have some name for it. It said they call it seasonal affective disorder. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, sad. Now, only a week ago, there was an article in our Peachtree City paper that was similar, and it said, Peachtree City Church will offer financial advice classes in January. The Peachtree City Church, and I'm not going to tell you the church, will offer a financial course and free childcare Sunday mornings from 9 to 10:30 a.m. starting on January 8th. If you are already struggling and wondering how you will ever pay for Christmas, make a resolution now to get out of debt and better manage your finances in 2017. A spokesman said, Financial advice is the answer to the question, how do I start? In this 19-week class, you'll learn 7 steps to create a budget, get out of debt, and make a plan for your money. The article goes on to tell you how you can sign up for this course. For those who try to keep Christmas in a religious way, there's a spirit of a false hope for peace and change in the world. These religious people who keep Christmas may believe in Christ. They go to church and they read their Bibles, and they keep Christmas because they sincerely believe they're honoring Christ. But along with Christmas spirit, there's a great deception. It's almost like the God of this world is saying, if I can keep people excited about and focused on my holidays, then they won't want to go and keep God's holy days. Because the two do not mix, and we know that. You can't do one and the other. In one way, the Christmas spirit is created each year is not to honor Christ, but to sell merchandise. Like all Satan's delusions, it's made to appear good, like an angel of light, as I once mentioned there. Billions of dollars are spent on this merchandise spree every year, while people go further in debt and the churches suffer some shortages during this period. So keeping Christmas does not honor Christ. On the other hand, keeping God's holy days does honor Christ. We honor God by keeping holy those things that He made holy. Only God can make things holy, as I said on point one. So when we observe God's holy days, we are obeying and honoring Christ. These are the commanded feasts for our benefit, so we can grow and be equipped to serve God in the future as spiritual member in His family. Point number three, the holiday of Christmas has no lasting message of hope for the future. The holiday of Christmas has no lasting message of hope for Christmas. When I grew up in a Protestant church, there was a scripture read each year at Christmas time from the pulpit, in Sunday school, and also it's often printed on cards for Christmas. Its scripture is Luke 2, verse 14. Luke 2, 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, after coming into the church, I learned that there's a better translation for the end of that verse, to men of goodwill, that's in the New King James Bible. But I was originally taught in the Protestant church that this scripture was a message of hope in keeping Christmas. They said that by doing such a Christmas, having a Christmas attitude, giving and keeping it would lead to a better world. In other words, if enough people would give glory to God at Christmas, someday, through man's effort, with all the churches and missionaries around the world, things would improve. Many people would be saved, and there would be peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Now, this seemed like a message of hope to me at the time. But as I started to grow up and heard this scripture year after year, I began to doubt that idea of hope, because nearly everybody was keeping Christmas every year, but all I saw was another war, more problems, more ungodliness in the world, and the decreasing evidence of peace and goodwill. So the holiday of Christmas doesn't lead to hope, and as God's plan does. This is not to say that we don't believe that the birth of Christ was a great sacred event, because we do. We believe it's sacred, but the Father didn't choose it to become a worldly holiday, to swap up and drink up, which turned out to be a distraction from the beginning of his life to the death for mankind. As for swapping gifts, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, in a 1952 booklet on Christmas, wrote the following, quote, Suppose someone you love has a birthday. You want to honor that person on his or her birthday. Would you lavishly buy gifts for everyone else, trading gifts back and forth with all other of your friends and loved ones at the party, but ignore completely any gift for the one whose birthday you are honoring? He says, rather absurd when you look at it from this point of view. Yet this is exactly what people in the world are doing. They honor a day that is not Christ's birthday by spending every dime that they can scrape together in buying presents to trade back and forth among friends and relatives, end quote. Then Mr. Armstrong goes on to add that most pastors would agree that the month of December comes around, nearly all the professing Christians forget to give gifts to Christ, offerings in other words, to the church. For some groups, December is often the most difficult month to keep Christ's work from dying. Now back to God's holy days. Unlike Christmas, keeping God's holy days lays out the plan of God, which is all about repentance and hope for the future. After all, God is offering eternal life for us. Now we know that there are some good and sincere people out there who admit that there are some negative aspects of Christmas that shouldn't be there. My parents were people like that. So they advocate to a move, put Christ back into Christmas. But how can you do that if Christ was never in Christmas to begin with? They just don't mix. How many people look at what the present world has to offer? That's what Satan has to offer. How many people long for man-made holidays like Christmas and Easter with all the glitter and the traditions, but fail to see what God has to offer, true hope for the future? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 2 through 11 in 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the message of hope in keeping God's holy days that's missing from Christmas. This is the truth we need to review every year at this time and think about and keep in mind. The annual cycle of celebrating the festivals of holy days reminds God's people that He is working out His plan of extending salvation from sin and death and offering the gift of eternal life in the family of God to all humanity, present, past, and future. In fact, the word hope is in the title of the church's book on this subject. God's holy day plan, the promise of hope to all mankind. That's what it's called. So, brethren, we can see that the spirit of Christmas does not please God, and it will not last, and it will not be a part of His holy kingdom. Yet with God's holy days, we can look forward to the day that everyone will worship God together in the spirit of His truth.